Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Good morning! Welcome in to Sports Saturday on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher with a special guest today, Andre 3000. I had no idea that he would be into the studio today.
That's the flute.
That's your flute. I don't think you're hitting the wind in the right direction there.
Something like
that. Are you okay? What is happening over there?
I was getting ready to put the headphones on.
Get headphones. You've been here for 10 years, and you use these ratty-ass left-ear-only working headphones.
Well, I'm only here once.
The communal headphones are probably going to give you a disease, hepatitis at some point.
Knocking on wood, because it's been like 11 years. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't happen.
But headphones are like $10, $15.
You know what, Joe? Let's band together. We will buy him a pair of headphones for Christmas.
Okay, number one, I have a pair of headphones. I just don't want to bring them here. I'm real forgetful. So, number one, top of the morning to everybody before I start talking. But I'm real forgetful, and them joints would have been left somewhere. And if here...
Leave them here!
Headphones disappear. There have been so many pairs of headphones around here. This is the one that doesn't have a sound in the left ear right ear.
You got no snare in your headphones.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I don't want to leave my headphones here and accidentally then never see them again. Because it's bound to happen, for sure.
No, it's not.
It absolutely is.
Be an adult. All right?
I'm sorry.
I mean, he's not wrong. Headphones do get stolen in radio studios. That is a thing. Like, leaving stuff in a radio studio is not typically...
We have lockers in the bathroom.
Well, then you got to bring your own lock.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses. I'm hearing a lot of candy-ass excuses out here.
I got to take my headphones to the bathroom?
You know what? Drop down and give me 10 right now.
I'll do it.
Up-downs.
I'll do it.
What the hell is this?
I want to see some up-downs.
I'll do it.
Drill sergeant.
I've gotten very used to doing...
Get those feet chopping.
Some form of up-downs. Or what's the other word? Sprawls.
High knees, damn it! Caterpillar crawls.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've got PTSD from up downs.
Do you guys have two a days?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We had three a days.
You had three. That was.
I don't
legal?
Think that was. No, that was, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Did you guys win state?
No.
Then it was a waste of time.
Just like what you
three
win,
a days
like,
if
four games?
Are for teams in Texas that are intending to win state. You know,
that's Sherwood Bowman football is what that is. Okay.
Oh, okay.
No, I think they've scaled that back. No, but
I don't think they do two a days at all anymore.
No, I'm not sure it's legal at all.
Again, that's part of our sissy-ass society that we live in nowadays.
And the cold part
kids don't have two-a-days no more.
I don't know about you guys, but two-a-days were always brutal, but always some of the most fun that we would end up having.
I disagree.
You did?
Oh, man, I love two-a-days.
No, seriously, they were brutal, but again, it's being around your team literally all day. So you and your best boys just out there, man,
doing grab assing.
Usually a lot of grab assing. It's just after the first team or second team or whatever goes in, you're just kind of standing around waiting to do stuff and everything like that. Like the beginning part is super hard, all the drills, all the everything, but man, I always had, like I said, those little breaks and stuff like that, or when we just sitting on the side, just kind of grab ass and whatever. Like that was always a lot of fun.
My team was full of a bunch of jerks.
So probably not as fun.
Not as fun.
Okay.
Bad chemistry.
Yeah.
Team culture over at
South Salem High School.
Oh yeah.
South Salem.
Yeah. The Saxons.
Culture. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Coach Defoe at the time. From the top down. I don't think it was a good culture.
Real cultural problem at South Salem.
It usually was, actually.
The boys aren't invested. Now, we called them three-a-days, but the morning time was conditioning.
Right.
Where we had a conditioning coach, so we would all get there. It was no pads. It wasn't working on routes or anything or, you know, plays.
Some sprints.
We were just, you know, 5 back, 10 back, 15 back, 20 back, you know. We were doing high knees all the way down here. We're doing shuffle, 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 switch to karaoke.
Truffle, shuffle.
You know, doing all sorts of conditioning activities. That was in the morning.
Monkey rolls.
That was in the morning. I think we did that for hour and a half. We did that. And then we would take a break for the entire day. And then our first actual football practice would start at 5 and go until 7:30. And then we would take an hour break for dinner where our parents would then drop dinner off for us.
Spaghetti, salad.
Something carbohydrate full.
I always looked forward to my dinner because my parents had an Asian pear tree in the backyard. Those little yellow pears, mm-hmm. those yellow round ones. There was one in my dinner every time. It was delicious.
Hate pears.
You hate pears?
Pears are disgusting.
Oh.
You sound like you're from Texas right now, Joe. Three days, pear tree in the backyard.
Yeah, boys of fall, baby. After we crushed dinner, and then we went right back on the field from about 8:30 to 10:30 or something like that. So we were...
And we didn't win state.
No. We got...
Did we get close?
We got to December. We got to the semifinals. And then Jefferson. The Demos. Those damn Demos.
Which will probably never happen again. You know, not for a while. A long while.
I hate to do the whole, like, I don't remember my senior year. But that year, we played them second game of the season. We beat them 40-6 in that game. And then we played them in the semifinals of the playoffs and lost to them. We were devastated. I was a blubbering mess in the locker room after the game.
Yeah, the last game of high school is not a pretty sight. Like, you might not cry in front of your team, but you're going to cry in the car. You're going to cry in the shower. There's going to be a time where you're going to get there and it's going to hit you that whole process was over. And that sucks.
Yeah, you can't. It's done. I mean, like, you can play, you know,
did you guys
basketball nowadays afterwards, you know,
like
soccer.
You're going to have another season, but there's something about football and that camaraderie and that being, because basketball guys, excuse me, are not around each other all day the way football players typically were during the season, right? I'm talking about
snapping each other's ass in the shower with a towel.
Yeah, like on tournaments and stuff like that, when basketball players have to travel, that's something different. Maybe. Like, of course, they're around each other because football players don't have traveling teams and whatnot. But you're talking about in-school teams. Like, football players are around each other all the time. Joe just talked about a full day he had for, what, 2 weeks?
Two, 3 weeks, yeah, something
like
that.
Like that, to where you're just around like your guys and stuff like that. And
I remember we didn't get a water break one day.
Oh.
Just no water.
Also illegal.
Violations.
Yeah.
Exactly. You guys didn't have like we call it the cow?
Oh, yeah. With the
water cow.
The hoses off of it.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Did you guys see at the end of the Texas game, Texas A&M, I think it was?
Yeah.
And the two boys from Texas kind of just sat in the end zone and just soaked it in. It's my last game here and everything. This is awesome. You know, the friends, they played high school football together, and then they go and they play college football together, and they just kind of sit there together and just like, this was awesome. Like, I mean, win or lose, or no matter how your season, when you think back at those times, like, yeah, that was some of the most fun ever. So shout out to all the football, basketball, soccer, volleyball players that, you know, get to experience that, you know, throughout high school. Cherish it. There it is. Yes, man. Love your friends. Love this time. Cherish it. Because once it's over... Oh, it's all taxes and worries from here.
Friday nights.
Seriously.
Cold beer after a game.
Yeah, what do you say? It's all babies and memories. Babies and memories.
Boys of fall. Boys of fall, baby.
Yeah, so enjoy it and everything. I know high school basketball started. Are you guys going to get to any of those?
No, I have not gone to any high school basketball. I would like to, but then again, I don't. I don't care that
there's
much.
No, there's some ones out there.
I don't have kids.
There's some ones.
No, there's some kids out there that are going to be a big deal, you know, on the next level, you know, in college and whatnot, potentially further. So, hey, man.
Where do I got to go for that?
Oh, man, there's a kid who's a freshman at Reynolds, and he's the best freshman in the state. Yeah. And his brother was really good. He's a sophomore this year. But hey, the freshman is, he's, I think he's going
home
to the
league. Drew Eubanks?
Drew Eubanks, yeah. Reynolds. But the freshman, I think he's going to the league. Man, he's 6'4".
Reynolds? Reynolds is producing talent like that
actually,
again?
Actually, his dad is my barber. And I when I go and watch this kid play, I'm like, oh yeah, he's got it. You know. Oh,
okay, so you see him play.
Yeah.
There's, it's not the his dad, my son.
No. I wouldn't just gas my man like that. He is super talented. But at the same time, like, this kid is amazing. There's a kid at Grant and a freshman at Benson, like, there's some kids that are all over. The best freshman in the state, or excuse me, the best guard in the state, considered probably the best player, is Zamir Paschel.
Sure.
And yeah, he's awesome. Over at Central Catholic. So there's a lot of kids that are
got some ballers out there, huh?
Man, for sure.
They're out there. Well, I will say this, that it is now basketball season, not for the not just high school and but the youth as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love basketball. I don't know if you guys have this about like a sport where you love the game, but like professionally, it doesn't really do it for you. I feel like NBA right now is kind of going through it. When NBA playoffs roll around, like, I'm in. You know, sign me up. I'm watching. You get close to the playoff race. If the Blazers are obviously better than they are right now, I'm pretty invested. But for the most part, like, I used to be just an NBA diehard. Mm-hmm. Like, I would always be looking at the standings, watching games, like, just really following it. And then, I don't know if it was, you know, Dame leaving or the years leading up to Dame leaving where the team just sucked. And then, you know, just the vibes of NBA basketball now. But when I'm watching, like, my son, I go to all my son's practices for the most part. And when I'm in, I'm locked in on what the coach is, like, telling him. I'm about to get out there and start running some reps. Like, and then go into their tournaments and stuff and watching them play basketball. Can't get enough of it. Can't get enough of it.
Yeah, no. Again, when you're watching everything pretty much before pro, like, you see how hard those kids are out there playing.
Mm.
Middle school.
For the heart of the game.
High school and stuff like that, into college. Like, I think college can be kind of sloppy sometimes. Like, I think high school can be very sloppy. But you see how hard those kids are playing. You see how much they want to win. And then you get to the NBA, and it's kind of like everybody's pacing themselves. Mm. The one team that's not pacing themselves.
You got one guy that's hungover from the night before going out too late. Know,
like, yeah, it's always kind of the way it goes. But the one team
one guy probably smoked a blunt driving up to the arena.
Well, it's legal now, so they do it. It's part of the pregame. I mean,
there's someone smoking a blunt on the bench.
If you're under 18, it's not legal.
Yeah, I mean, so. Hey, but most guys under 18 aren't in the NBA.
Well,
so.
Come on, PSA. It really is bad for a developing brain, so don't do it until you're an adult. Come on. Like, that's,
oh, well, sure.
Alcohol doesn't have that effect like pot does.
That's a man just trying to avoid an FCC violation for us right there.
No, I'm serious.
What a nice guy.
I see where PSA, you are, baby. Man. Nice. You're the real MVP, Jordan.
I'm just trying to help.
No, but
you're the real MVP. The more you know.
And I think one of the reasons, Joe, that you might be feeling this about the NBA is because the Blazers aren't good. You know, you were checking standings and stuff because the Blazers were a part of them, and they could move up, potentially move down, whatever. But now when you know they're not really close to a part of the standings that's important, it's kind of like, And then there's a lot of really young, good players in the league, but nobody that's super, like, compelling.
Speaking of youth basketball, though, mm-hmm. You know who I get to see today? I get to see one head coach, Brandon Sprague.
Oh,
His team is in the same tournament as my son's team. It's the Canby Cougar Classic today, this weekend.
All right,
yeah, and he will be coaching the game before and the game after my son plays. So there's a long enough break where you bet your sweet ass I will be in those stands and I will be observing and I will come back with a full scouting report on one head coach, Brandon Sprague, on his team. How the vibes? Is he yelling at his girls just going in? Just, what the are you doing out
full
there?
Bobby Knight, that'd be awesome.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, chair throwing.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. Yeah. And then coworker Marisa, one of the fellow AEs here, salespeople. Her daughter shouldn't be playing. And I love watching the middle school girls because they get after it, dude. They are absolute animals. I call Joey out, my son, and his teammates all the time. I'm like, you guys don't play that hard.
No.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, look at them. They're scratching and clawing and fighting, diving for balls. Like, it is absolute mayhem out there.
Listen, shout out.
You guys don't do any of that.
Shout out to the ladies' basketball programs across, the country. So check this out. I've told you guys I do PA announcing for the Portland Community College Panthers, right?
Go Panthers.
And I watched the ladies. I did the ladies' tournament, I want to say 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
2-3 weeks ago. And when I say they go for it.
Right after performing roses?
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Because they smell like boo-boo.
Yeah.
But yes, I did a halftime performance and everything. People loved it. They went crazy. But watching these ladies that go for loose balls and stuff like that, the way they hit the ground, there is no just kind of reach out. The boys are cute, right? They're going to reach out and try to pick it up and grab it and make
finesse.
A play and everything like that. No, these girls were demolition derby type stuff to get to the ball, and there were so many injuries and so many. This one young lady hit her face on the ground so hard.
Hell yeah.
Trying to get the ball. She came out of the game for a little bit, face was all red on one side. I was like, oh my gosh. She got back in it though and kept playing. So yes, man, they play much, much tougher, which is a big reason people have kind of shifted to college basketball for women. Is because you can see they play a little harder, and on top of that, they have names that you recognize over 2 or 3 years.
And you got girls like Audie Crooks out there,
who is a monster,
balling up, dropping 47
points. I can't wait to see what she does
with a 5-inch vertical.
I can't wait to see what she does in the WNBA. Apparently, that's not important, right? How many girls? How many women in the WNBA have a crazy vert? I'm curious of what the highest vertical is in the WNBA.
Just skyscraper, just absolutely. Just,
I bet it's like Asia Wilson or something like that, and it's like,
I don't know,
27 inches.
Oh yeah, probably.
Yeah. I'm gonna look that up.
But yeah, I'm excited for some basketball for the love of the game today. It's the tournaments. I don't mind it this time of year. I don't mind. Now, I do mind having a 4 or 5 hour break in between games. That sucks. Having to wait that long for the next game. But again, luckily, I'll get to go see Brandon Sprague's team. And see, you want to talk about culture? That's what I'm going to be looking for.
Better than going to hang out at the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Sprague was a pretty good basketball player from what I hear. So he might be a pretty good coach.
Yeah,
or it could be a terrible coach. That's usually how good basketball players work.
I hope he's on the refs. I want to hear him working the refs for those calls, Joe. So you better get back to us and tell us that Sprague is like Greg freaking Popovich every time. Being like, come on, give us the call.
Who I'd love to see as a youth coach? That guy right there, Jordan Schultz.
Oh, he's not making it the whole game.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Oh, no, he's going to be tossed.
Yeah.
He's going to be tossed.
Yeah, he's getting
Absolutely.
Tossed first quarter.
That'd be amazing. I would love
to.
He's Vince Vaughn from the end of Old School. Toss a chair on. Let's make it official, jackass. Let's make it official. Yeah, that's you.
I might have been kicked out of a middle school bet. Yep, a middle
I'm
school
shocked.
Basketball game as a kid. I might have.
All right, well, here's your first segment for you. I'm ready. It's 9:17. It is not 6:17. So the energy has been brought. All right. Woke up feeling cheesy. I woke up feeling cheesy. Oh, no.
Dang it. I woke up feeling the cheesiest, coach.
Man, I woke up ready.
I did wake up ready. Actually, I didn't wake up ready. It took me a while to get out of bed. But we're here. We're ready to go. Ready to rock and roll. Ready to talk about some better athletes than youth athletes.
I mean...
Professional.
Sure. Okay, there we go.
And or collegiate.
We can do both.
Okay. Let's do collegiate next. Let's get right to it. How did we end up here? We'll get to that next here. Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In the commercial break, for some reason, you were talking about the 2004 Lakers? Or the team that had that lost the Pistons?
Oh, yeah.
And you said that Gary Payton and Karl Malone didn't play?
Or they didn't play for the whole series. They end up getting hurt. Malone ended up sitting for X amount of games. I can't remember. Okay. And then Gary Payton, you know, I think he did play, but I think he was
Malone only played like half that season, if memory serves. Like they weren't healthy all year. Yeah, getting older.
But they did get the number one seed. I think it was the number one seed or a two seed or something like that after they beat the Blazers in that last game of the season. That was the year that Kobe hit those two crazy shots to win the game. Here at the Rose Garden, do you remember that?
I do not.
You don't.
Sounds like something he did quite often.
No, but it was really crazy because Reuben Patterson couldn't have played any better defense on Kobe. It
Kobe
was
stopper.
Straight up in the air. Kobe made two of the craziest 3-pointers you could ever expect somebody to make, and it was crazy. And that's how they end up getting the one seed. And they were great up until they played that damn Pistons team, who looks a lot. Very similar to this Pistons team that's playing right now, except they might have better scoring. Definitely have better scoring.
It's conference championship week.
Yes.
In college football. Right now on the television, we have the Big 12 championship on. It's BYU taking on Texas Tech. Texas Tech firmly in the driver's seat for a first round bye if they end up winning this game. It is scoreless still, 0-0. 8:30 left to go in the first quarter. Later today, 1 o'clock, you got Georgia at Bama, Indiana at Ohio State, Duke at Virginia in the ACC.
What a week for BYU, by the way.
I don't know. What happened for BYU?
Oh, you know, nothing. Just Crumble Cookie stepping out.
Oh,
saving their head coach. Right. Like the whole fight with Penn State. Like, yeah. Big deal.
Yeah, keeping Kalani Sitake.
Yeah, as their head coach.
But BYU, they need to win this game to get in. I don't think that they are respected like a two-loss Notre Dame, two-loss Miami, or a two-loss Alabama, or a two-loss Oklahoma. I think they feel that all four of those teams are better than a one-loss in the regular season BYU. But boy, I am very intrigued to see what will happen if BYU ends up winning this game today, because then you got to include them. They'll be one of the highest ranked conference champions. And then Texas Tech, they're in regardless of what happens today. So if BYU snags that last spot, then the committee who, man, I just, when leading into this segment, I said, how did we get here? When we got the 12-team playoff, 4-team and 12-team playoff, we thought like everything was going to be all roses and everything would be fine, and that finally we got what we wanted in a playoff in college football. And for some reason, when we got rid of the BCS, we were like, hey, now we're going to actually have humans making the decisions, right? We're going to have humans make. Now we're at a point where we can't really like take the committee at their word and being trustworthy just because they make up stupid rules all the time that Miami and Notre Dame aren't in the same tier, even though Miami is only like two spots below them and they beat Notre Dame. And for some reason that the benefit of the doubt they're giving Oklahoma, saying, well, Oklahoma beat Alabama. So yeah, they're in, but it's like
Oklahoma in?
I believe the SEC, my man. And then, but they're like, okay, well, Miami beat Notre Dame. Like, well, that's different.
Yeah. That's not the same though. Yeah. Right. And it's never, you know,
so I'm just like, again, I'm a sicko. I'm going to be watching all the college football playoff games. I love college football. I definitely understand people's gripes and frustrations at the reasoning behind some of the decisions of the college football playoff committee. Because, yeah, sometimes it just seems like they're just making stuff up as they go.
That's exactly kind of what it is. And the truth is, there's always going to be this SEC bias in college football. We just have to. I think we're at the point now. We're all old enough to be able to accept it. We don't get as angry about it now. Remember, there was a time that we would be pissed about the fact that the SEC was always included and always had the most teams and was always considered the best or whatever. Now I think we all kind of conceded to the fact that this is just how people are going to feel about it, no matter how dominant the Big Ten was. And let's think about it. The Big Ten has three teams, and at the top three, there's one loss between them. That's insane, right? Between Ohio State, Indiana and Oregon, you're talking one loss between three of the top five teams in the country. Like, that's crazy. That's not the SEC. That's the Big Ten. But still, they're going to find a way to make sure that, you know, we talked last week about a three-loss Texas potentially being in this thing.
No, that's not happening.
No, it's not happening. But there might be some internal conversation about, well, you know, it is Texas and it is, you know, Arch and all these things. It's like, I'm with you. It's not going to happen. But again, that's the kind of the thought process. But I mean, we're never going to be all the way happy with the playoff system. It's just not going to work. I mean, as humans, we're always going to want more. We're always going to want it our way. And there's always going to be a team that feels like it should be me, you know. And in the case of Miami, it should be them over Notre Dame. I think we can all kind of agree on that. If I beat you, we have a similar record, I should be ahead of you. I don't think that's pretty simple math, yeah?
Well, like I said, the arbitrary, like, win head-to-head matters. Like,
does it anymore, though?
Yeah, I mean,
it should.
Because who did I use last loss to?
BYU's last loss was to Texas Tech.
So if they lose a close game to Texas Tech today, like, I mean, should they be still considered? I mean, really, you didn't lose to, I guess, inferior talent. You're losing to the number four team in the country right now. You lost to them twice, and one of them is a close loss, if this is indeed a close one. I hope it's a win for BYU, but whatever.
I mean, as far as being left out, you guys, it's no matter if it's two teams, four teams, 12 teams, 16 teams, computers, yeah, humans deciding it. We were pissed when teams were left out, you know, of a BCS championship, so we tweaked that. Then we tweaked it again to try to let the formula maybe, you know, allow for the weight of scores. Then we took away the weight of scores in the BCS championship because people were running it up on each other. So we have tried year after year after year to come up with a fix. There will never be a fix, and hell, by the time we die, guys, there might be like a 32 team freaking tournament. Like, it'll be like December madness because they just can't make anyone happy.
It happened in college basketball, right? People weren't happy about the number of teams, so let's make it a field of 64. That's a lot of college basketball teams all of a sudden. Initially, the whole playoff started because the BCS was typically getting it wrong. They would send a team that was should have been undefeated, but now they're number three and they're not going to get to play for the national championship. Like, what is that? So let's just make it the top four teams. Like, nobody can be mad about that, right? Of course they can. So there's always going to be a reason, especially when it's your team, especially when it only happens when it works against the SEC. But that's the only time this ever really is an issue, is when it works against the SEC.
You can text into the program, 503-864-6326, or jump on the YouTube chat, share your thoughts on the playoffs, and again, basically just how we got to this point where, and I try not to, like, I'm not watching the playoff rankings released every week, and hearing Hunter Yorchek, the college football playoff committee chair, head, whatever you want to call him, talk and explain his reasoning. I'll see the clips. I'll see the quotes after the fact. But I'm just curious where fans, how their feelings sit with the playoff format now and what it's going to be. is 16 teams. I guarantee that we will be seeing next year.
It's coming.
Get into some more playoff talk, including what lies ahead for the Oregon Ducks. Do that next year, Sports Saturday, on the Fan Sports Network. But first, Schultze with the Sports Center update. Conference championship weekend going on right now. Texas Tech, BYU still scoreless in the Big 12 championship. At 1 o'clock, you have the SEC championship game at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Breaking news. They will have a Flaming Hot Cheeto crispy chicken with fried peppers and jalapenos, cheddar, sliced tomato, shredded lettuce with jalapeno ranch on a chala bun. Sign me up. Absolutely wreck me.
I'll take one.
I was going to say, does that not sound like a nice night or two on the toilet after?
Give me an absolute, just devastating ulcer after that one.
I'll take it.
Cheeto crispy chicken with fried peppers and jalapenos.
Good football game food. Like, good Lord. How could you even finish that?
I would destroy the Mercedes-Benz sewage system. A lot. They might have to stop that game like halfway through it. It'd be like, oh, excuse us, fans, if you could please evacuate the stadium.
Yeah, everybody's just sitting around.
Sewage is overflowing. And
you guys have all been to Autzen, right? Joe, I know you have. Rashad, you have. Yeah.
Yes.
I have the very, very vivid memory. So
of you destroying one of the bathrooms at Autzen?
I don't think I ever did, but 20 years ago, the bathrooms were a lot tinier at Autzen, and the smell probably after the second quarter when you walked into the men's bathroom. Talk about sewage. Talk about poop. That was one.
Talk about poop.
One negative of going to Autzen Stadium at that time was the unadulterated just smell of ass that you would get walking into.
I think that applies to like 99% of sports stadiums.
I have never walked into, at least at the time, never walked into a stadium that I remember that smell so much.
Hey, Research Stadium, Autzen. You just do it out in the concourse.
Seriously.
Well, that's true. That's a little different there. So you can't really smell it open air, right?
Flaming Hot Cheeto crispy chicken sandwich with fried peppers, jalapenos.
I am looking at this, and hell no.
What I'm looking at on the TV is BYU going up 7-0. They scored the first touchdown of the day.
Yeah.
Things are about to get interesting. A little trick play, direct snap to the running back who fakes the pitch to the quarterback. And then he keeps it himself, and bam, bam, thank you, man. Up 7-0, BYU.
What would Chris Berman go? Mormons? Would that be what he's doing here?
Is that what he would say?
Well, because he like the NFL primetime, like Panthers?
He goes, Brigham Young into the end zone.
There you go.
Man, I miss Berman.
NFL primetime, still on every week.
So BYU up 7-0. We had some games decided last night in the group of six. We had two group of six champions claimed. James Madison, they beat Troy 31-14. The James Madison Dukes, I believe. And then in the American Championship game, you had Tulane beating North Texas 34-21. So the big if in this one is if Virginia wins today, then it will be Tulane will be the lowest ranked conference champion. If Duke wins today, and this is where things could get interesting, if Duke ends up winning the ACC, do they rank Duke, or will James Madison be the fifth highest ranked conference champion? And then at that point, Rashad, we would be getting both Tulane and James Madison in the playoffs and not the ACC champion, which is wild.
Does that sound cool to anybody?
No.
I mean,
does anybody want to watch James Madison play? No, Texas, please let us know. Does anybody want to watch? Unless you have a son or a nephew on the team.
Listen, I'll go. It's catch-22 because me, I'm like, dude, give me the dogs, give me the upsets, give me the group of six, group of five teams getting in there and getting a shot. You cannot tell me that Texas or Miami or Vanderbilt or BYU, if they get left out, that they would lose to James Madison. Maybe James Madison would keep it interesting against BYU. Maybe they'd keep it interesting against a Vanderbilt, but all four of those teams are beating James Madison. And I don't know if you saw the hypothetical spread for if Oregon were to play James Madison in the first round.
It was pretty ugly.
It was like 24.5.
And I think pretty close to that for Tulane, too.
Yeah, so it's I go back and forth where I'm like, I love seeing these small schools get a chance, but in a 12-team college football playoff format, giving up 1/6 of the spots to group of six teams, Tulane and James Madison, that's the part that if I was a Texas fan or a Miami fan, that if I'm getting left out and I'm like, okay, I understand the automatic qualifiers are for conference champions, but you're going to sit there with a straight face and tell me that Tulane and James Madison is better than Miami?
And they would run them off the field
if they
played against them.
Stop. That is the one thing where I am in favor of going to 16 is that, all right, if we're going to be able to get a couple spots in there for the group of five teams like a James Madison and Tulane, we got to be able to just put in this next tier of teams who have some impressive wins on the season, right? Like Miami beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to be getting into the playoff. You know, Texas, they just beat Texas A&M. Texas A&M's going to be getting into the playoffs. So the whole idea of, well, you know, these teams lost three games, you know, they should win. I get that. I understand both sides of it, where it's like, don't lose three games. Don't lose a quarter of your games throughout the season. But with that said, you know, Texas and Ohio State, like Texas is going to be on one of the teams left out. Let's not act like Ohio State won that game by 4 touchdowns, right? Like, they lost by a touchdown, and they outgained Ohio State offensively. So as we get closer to the playoffs and the teams that are going to be in as far as group six go, there is part of me that I felt this way a few months ago. I was even saying it. I was like, we're going to 16. Like,
it's coming.
I mean, you're going to have Texas and some of these top schools left out.
It's too much money to be made.
And
man.
Yeah, they're going to be pissed. That's why they moved the deadline back to like January 23rd. It was supposed to be December 1st to come up with a new playoff format, and they pushed it back to January 23rd because they wanted more time to figure this out, because they're going to figure it out. They'll come to an agreement, whoever's going to cave. And I know it's more so Big Ten is you know, kind of holding things up as far as the format they want versus the SEC, but yeah, so, it's pretty wild times that we're in.
So, and I know we have to break, but let's just assume that, you know, and I know things are going to change, but I'm just looking at the college football playoff as it is today, like right now at this time at 9:42, right? And if we were to go to 16, USC is in, Texas is obviously in, Vanderbilt, you know, that's a lot of money. That's on, especially when you start talking about USC and Texas being in there for an additional game. Like, so eventually they will go to 16.
I don't think USC would be in if it was 16 teams.
I mean, just because I'm looking just right now at the, you know.
Oh, I know. They are 16.
They are 16.
That's where that Tulane.
No, that's what I'm saying. If we're just looking at it just today, right now at 9:43, like, we know things are about to change is based on wins and losses this afternoon. But those are the teams that would be in. It's like, yeah, that's a lot of money that they would be able to kind
of
think about there. Yeah,
a lot of fan bases.
So it's going to happen. It will eventually happen. Now that they're seeing how successful this playoff has been, it has been successful for them. Whatever, you know, we want to say, they've gotten the right champion so far. So I think they eventually will as well. It's only a matter of time.
What is Oregon's path going to look like, though? That will be determined throughout today, but the odds are pretty in favor of one outcome of what it's going to look like for the Oregon Ducks. Get to that next here on Football Sports Saturday. Sports Football Saturday? Either way, one of the two. It's the Fan Sports Network.
Grinch. Man, give me the ox, bro.
Is green. The Ducks are green. Look at that radio segue.
Pass the ox, Jordan.
The ox?
Yeah.
Oh, AUX. I thought you meant like ox, like oxtails or something like that.
Why would I ask them to pass the oxtails, Joe?
I don't know, like Christmas meal, roast beef, or roast enough. Beast. I don't know.
Roast beast.
Yeah, nice roast beast.
Ducks, what's going to happen with them? What do you want for them to happen? We talked about this in the Ducks postgame show last weekend, is that it's funny the mix of fans that some of them want the home game just because they want a home game, a home playoff game at Autzen, and then some of them are like, dude, if things were to play out where BYU were to win today and Texas Tech maybe gets knocked down like a spot or two and Oregon gets a bye week, it's a 4 spot, like, I don't know. I personally like the idea of my players not playing more than they need to and not getting possibly injured. Like, call me crazy. And I understand the idea of a home game at Autzen in the playoffs. Like, that'd be fun. But also, if you're telling me, like, you get to play Tulane, James Madison welcome knots. I'm like, oh, okay, can we just not do this? Can we just have a bye week, please?
Listen, a lot of people I've spoken to have been like, oh, man, yeah, I'm so glad Oregon is going to get the fifth seed. And I'm like, why? That's crazy. So you want them to play an extra game? You want potentially for one of your players to pull a hamstring that lingers for too long or twist an ankle or something silly that, like, you don't need right now? Like, why wouldn't you want your team to be as healthy as they can be and have a game that they don't have to play in a playoff scenario? Like, why would you want them to play more bat or more football than they need to? Like, that's crazy to me.
I understand wanting the being cool with the fifth seed as far as the path goes. You know, it's the one of the easier paths. You would play probably Texas Tech. Again, we'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, you play the four seed right away after you play either Tulane or James Madison. Like, as far as, again, like, what's the easiest route as far as matchups and teams you're going to be playing, then that's definitely, you know, ideal to be at five. But, yeah, give me an extra week. I don't care. Like, some of these teams are going to be having to wait a while to play games anyway. So the whole, like, rust argument of, well, I don't want them to sit out for too long. One, it's also football. Like, just the team who shows up ready to play,
That's who usually wins, you know, right?
2 week break, 3 week break, 4 week break, whatever. All these teams are going to be having a break for a while. To me, if it's like Oregon will take almost a month off, like over a month off in between games, I'm like, okay, sounds good to me. Sounds like a lot of guys nursing their injuries and getting healthy and being able to be at tip top shape in order for that game.
I'll tell you what it is, guys. I'll tell you exactly what it is now. Last year played in, because this is the first year that, you know, really, what, second? This is the third year of the playoff? How many?
Of the 12 team?
Yeah, the 12
this
team.
This is the second year.
Second year? Okay. So, in last year, Oregon was in, obviously, the initial one. They lost in the first week, their first game, you know, which was the bye, and everybody lost it. And now it's like, oh, you don't want the same thing to happen as last year. Well, number one, they're not going to play Ohio State again. That's the first thing we can say. They're not going to play
at least them. Not until the semifinals.
Not until the semi. So at least you have one game where you know that Oregon more than likely can probably win. So I don't want to hear this whole like, oh, they need the rest. No, stop it. Like, we need to go out there and for momentum, and that sounds absolutely crazy. And because you want a playoff game at Autzen, why? Like, I get it, and it's cool and everything, but number one, you want to spend $400-something a ticket. That ticket is going to be pretty pricey.
Yeah, I think it's going somewhere around like $350.
Yeah, pretty right pricey for Autzen Stadium that day. So you want to do all that? And that's cool because, yes, there are a lot of people that absolutely do, and that little $300 ticket is
I will say
nothing.
That Autzen, when a team is just getting absolutely obliterated by Oregon at Autzen, like, it's just big play after big play after big play, and it's just a party for four quarters. Autzen's pretty damn fun during those
it
moments.
It absolutely is.
It's pretty 100%. Damn fun. But yeah, when it comes, like, I feel like it's pretty football common sense that if things play out today where they have the opportunity to jump into the four, give that to me all day long.
And what do you think plays more to recruits? We finished fifth and everything was cool, or we were one of the top four teams in the country for the second year in the playoff? I mean, you already just flipped, like, the number, two linebacker in the country just a couple days ago. So you're getting these guys come in. So you're going to get that anyway, whether you're the fifth seed or not. But, yeah, it plays much better for your program if for the second year in the 2 years of the playoff, you are a top four seed.
So basically the two arguments that I've heard for Oregon playing a home game at Autzen is because it would be a playoff game at Autzen. It would be a great environment,
sure,
right? And every
historic
Duck fan. Yeah, it's something that they've dreamed of watching live. I get that. And you guys have talked about it, that delay. Everybody's scared about that layoff of what I think it was 24 days between the time that Oregon played in the conference championship for the Big Ten last year and then faced off against Ohio State in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. If Oregon played a first rounder, it would be, Joe, I think we figured this out, like 18 or 19 days off in between their final game of the regular season and into that first round college football playoff game. That's what math says, 5 days off from that last year. And if they end up playing a quarterfinal instead of a first round game, it ends up being like, what, 30 days, like you guys said. So the time off in my opinion, really isn't that different either way from last year. And you do want guys to get healthy. You're hoping. I don't think DeCorian Moore is going to be back. Like, I'm not kissing the stars for that one. But, like, Gary Bryant Jr., maybe an Evan Stewart. Doubtful, but, like, we can cross our fingers that that extra time would really help get some big weapons that Oregon needs going up against those elite teams. So I just don't see it. I think it's just more fun that Oregon fans want. And that layoff, guys, there's no, you talked about it, Rashad, there's no chance that Oregon could face off against Ohio State until the semifinals. Do you see any team like Ohio State from last year kind of hanging around the 8, 9, 10 seed that could jump up and beat everybody? I don't. Ohio State is Ohio State, right? Ryan Day had something to prove. I just don't see anybody floating around this top 12 this year like that.
Well, I also think...
No, I don't.
I think that a lot of people didn't expect Ohio State to do what they did last year until they played Tennessee in that first round. And once they saw what they did to Tennessee, it was one of those where everybody was like, oh, well, if Ohio State is going to play like this, then I think everybody's in trouble. And sure enough, they won that game against Tennessee. They then played Oregon, won that one. Then they played their game against Texas. And then obviously won the national championship against Notre Dame, where it never really seemed like it was close. But yeah, in that 8-12 spot, not sure who that team would be this year.
Alabama? But no.
Maybe. But, you know, it's... I think that this playoff field is pretty wide open. You know, say what you want about Ohio State's defense. Yeah, it's great. Really hasn't been tested this year.
No.
Basically the bookends of their season, Texas and Michigan, were their toughest games, and those are two non-playoff teams, and, you know, Texas has had their woes, and Michigan has had their offensive woes. So I just think that coming back to the Oregon conversation is that, Give me time off. Let guys get healthy. Like, why risk any sort of injury, anything, whether as big or as small, minor as it is? Like, you know, tweaked hamstring, getting rolled up on a running play. That's one of those, like, all right, well, you're playing James Madison, Tulane. Maybe you're able to rest some guys at the end of the game
Third-string guys in there by third quarter.
But still, yeah, you don't, like, the roll-up plays. Those are the ones that get me. A lineman is just blocking, and then a linebacker or a running back falls into the back of his legs, and then it's like, oh, there you go, sprained ankle, you know, day-to-day, out possibly 2 to 3 weeks. Like, all right, well, that was really worth it. Like, no. This is why, I'm pulling for BYU. It's going to create a little bit of chaos, and they are up 7-3 right now. They just punted the ball away to Texas Tech, but I want to see BYU win because I think that it would knock Texas Tech down at least one spot and bump Oregon up.
Hell yeah, baby.
But also, maybe we're delusional over here, and the committee is going to be like, no, Texas Tech's still 4. You know, they lost the conference championship, but we've said before we're not going to punish teams.
We've seen dumber
for conference championships, so they'll stay 4. BYU, you're in as the 10 or 11 seed or whatever. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see, and as we know, the committee too kind of just makes up things as they go.
Yeah, so that's typically how it goes. So I'm not holding my breath for anything at this point.
Texas Tech lost to Arizona State, right? Oregon lost to Indiana.
Yeah,
I think that's a big thing.
Well, Texas Tech also, like, they didn't have their starting quarterback that game, which is a difference.
No, that's a good point too.
Yeah. And they honestly, I don't know how they lost that game. I remember watching that game against Arizona State. Like, the fact that Arizona State pulled that out at the end was absolutely ridiculous.
By the way, to put a cherry on top with the Oregon thing, Dan Lanning will never say this out loud, but you know he is foaming at the mouth for a second chance to come off of a long layoff of play and come and eat somebody alive. Like, they want to make sure that fans understand that they know how to do what they didn't do last year against Ohio State. So yeah, Lanning would never say that out loud, but I guarantee you, he's like hoping, like, you know what, let's get another layoff because I actually will own you this time.
College football playoff, it will be decided tomorrow. That is when the final bracket will be announced, December 7th. I don't know what time, though.
They're slipping it in between, like, stupid games again. Is that what? I hope not.
Well, I don't think there's any games tomorrow.
College basketball wise?
Oh.
That's what they've been doing during the week. They'll slip it.
During college basketball, they do the CFP.
They're trying
to. Screw this game. Here's the real important part.
Well, they're trying to increase ratings for the basketball. So in between like the end of one and the beginning of another, that's when they slot it in. It's been quite the weird viewing experience.
Well, if you really choose to want to watch the rankings be released, then, you know, Google it. Look online somewhere. You'll find it.
An Oregon fan will definitely be glued to the screen for that one.
But that takes care of college football playoffs. Let's move into the NFL. Let's look at some of these divisional battles. And right here, right now, we decide who is winning the divisions in the NFL.
Oh.
Putting our name on it. Do that. We got who do you love in the second hour. Wanted to get into the little Blazers stuff as well. Do that all next. Sports Saturday, hour number two, coming up here on the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hour number two, Sports Saturday, right here on the Fan Sports Network.
A lot of jacking right now.
Whoa. 10 inches.
Terrible
and girthy.
People. Terrible people you guys are.
Yeah, we should delete all of those.
Hell no.
What you can't delete is the first hour of the podcast on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, except Spotify, because we're banned. And I will say it until we are unbanned. I'm sure that the decision makers at Spotify are listening right now. Like, we got to get that figured out, guys. Number one priority. Stop the Spotify Wrapped. No more. We need to get this show on podcast. I can tell by the text line in the YouTube chat today that all the listeners are clamoring for it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this was the weekend to sleep in. And it was and we had a late start as well.
Yeah, you know, when there's no at least college football that you're necessarily interested in.
no sock sale at Fred Meyer that you got to get to.
You know, there's no real reason for me to get up and kind of,
Gotta get those socks.
Yeah, get out there in the world today. So you can wait till tomorrow. And the great thing is the Ohio State Indiana game is at what? Three? What time? 3 o'clock?
Just keep saying numbers. I'm sure you'll get one.
5 o'clock. Four, 3 o'clock. Five, 8 o'clock. Yeah. One of those. You know what I mean? It's later.
It's 5 o'clock.
Either way. Yeah, it's at five. So it's later. So that gives you some time to just hang out and chill. And maybe today's a house cleaning day.
Well, it was kind of warm last night out, too. Like warm being relative, like 53 degrees. But yeah, for a Friday evening in December.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was nice.
That was a time to go out. And let me tell you, finding a parking spot in downtown Portland was impossible. So I think everybody kind of had some fun last night, and they're just sleeping in today.
Yeah, I feel it.
NFL, we got some divisional races that still need to be decided, and there's a there's a couple that
a little out of reach, but yeah, there's you're good.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, actually, you know what? Just because you said that, Rashad, I'm hoping that there's a little pucker factor for you near the end of the season here, because your Patriots are 2.5 games above the Buffalo Bills, 11-2 compared to 8-4. I hope something happens. I mean, I'm not saying that the Patriots lose the division. You just get a little pucker factor going the last couple of weeks. Make you a little nervous.
Well, I'll be honest. This game against the Bills does have me a little nervous. I think the Bills are due for a great week. You know, I think they've had played some good football, but then some not so great football. So I think they're due for a really good game. I think they're still kind of pissed about the last loss to the Pats earlier this season. So that does make
that's
me
next week, right? Does,
I think that's next week.
Yeah, because the Patriots are on a bye week.
Yeah, so the next game against the Pats, that's the one that kind of scares me. So I'm hoping the Pats drop one this week, but the Bills drop one this week. But that's the one game I'm looking at for the rest of the schedule, and I'm like, that could be a problem. But I think the Pats pretty much got that division wrapped up.
All right, well, screw the Patriots. I don't care about them in this segment. All right, we've got a few divisions that need to be decided. We got some NFL music or something like that.
Yeah, I'll hit you with going. Here.
Can we get some bells or something? There it goes.
Oh yeah, baby.
All right, first division, the AFC North. Right now, you have the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers both at 6-6. And I would say, dare I say, don't count out the Cincinnati Bengals just yet. They are 4-8, but they did just get Joe Burrow back. They did just dominate the Ravens on Thanksgiving Day. It's not like the Ravens and Steelers are playing particularly good football right now either. Who wins the AFC North when the season comes to an end in just a few more weeks?
I'm probably still going to stay the Steelers. I still trust Mike Tomlin. The one thing we know from Mike Tomlin, he's going to finish at least 8-9 and 9-8. You know,
will he? Like
that. More than likely, that's what Mike Tomlin does. When has he not done that? And so, based on that alone, that's the only for sure that we have about that entire conference is that Mike Tomlin is going to finish 500. And if that's the case, then that means that's enough for them to win that division. So I'm going to say the Steelers.
Going Steelers, huh?
Yeah.
Jordan?
You can't. You cannot let the Bengals win that division.
That would be crazy.
That'd be
hilarious.
I'm all for parity in the NFL, right? Like, but a 4-8 team in week now 14 of the NFL regular season still having a shot to get into the playoffs is just absolutely asinine to me. But here we are. I'm not sure Lamar Jackson's actually right, so I'm going Steelers just because I don't have confidence in the Ravens, and I just don't know if Lamar Jackson's fully healthy. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he just got hit, had that broken hand, but guess what? He's fine. I'm not really sure that they're going to be much better than they have all season, but that whole division's been ass, so I'll go Steelers.
Bengals schedule the rest of the way. They play the Bills this weekend.
Yeah.
And then they will host the Ravens next weekend. Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns. There's some winnable games there.
Yeah.
There are some winnable games. If I'm going to go with anybody, I am going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I think those offensive issues that the Steelers have right now, while the Ravens offense is having issues as well, I will trust a Lamar Jackson versus a Aaron Rodgers with a broken hand, who also has not been playing particularly well over the last few weeks. And the Steelers, will play the Ravens this weekend. Steelers also have Dolphins, Lions, Browns, and then the last game of the year is the Ravens as well. As much as I want to choose the Bengals, because I think it would be hilarious, that defense is just, it's so too bad. And I just feel like they've put themselves in too big of a hole.
Joe Burrow will never win if that's the defense that he has to play with.
Well, what's absolutely brutal, too, is they had a couple games in the middle of their schedule against the Jets and the Bears that they blew late in the game. And, you know, what it could have, should have, but those were two games that they should have won. And if they pull that out with Joe Flacco, then they're sitting here at 6-6 as well, tied for the top of the division. Also in the AFC South is now all up for grabs, and right now the tiebreaker has the Jacksonville Jaguars as the leader of the AFC South. The Indianapolis Colts have been usurped. They have lost their division lead. They do have the same record as the Jacksonville Jaguars, 8-4, but because of tiebreaker scenarios, again, I think it's common opponents, record against common opponents. That's where the Jags have the Colts right now. And then the Houston Texans not far behind at 7-5, one game back. They have won 4 in a row. Who wins the AFC South?
I mean, CJ Stroud is starting, I don't know. I was kind of on the Davis Mills train for the Texans for a little bit, but I don't know. I still think it's the Colts. I trust Jonathan Taylor. I trust Daniel Jones. That sounds crazy.
I was gonna say
right now.
Godspeed.
But you know, right now this team is, you know, when you play for the Giants, when you play for the Jets, you know, people just assume that you're trash as a quarterback because the system around you is trash. And Daniel Jones this year is showing that he's at least comparable. And I think that's good for him. So I do like this Colts team. We've seen too many ups and downs from Trevor Lawrence in this Jag squad. So, and then the Texans, we're not sure. We saw them play better as a team when Davis Mills was started. Now that CJ Stroud is back, who knows? So I think of all those, I'm probably going to go with the Colts.
Yeah, this is a tougher one to choose from because it's there's part of me that just like doesn't want to count the Colts completely out based off of just a couple of weeks. I mean, they looked really, really good to start the year. Yeah. The
lost
Texans
last two, so it hasn't looked awesome.
Yeah, the Texans defense is one of the best in the league, if not the best defense in the league. Yeah, this one's, and then like the Jags, they have some good wins this year, but they're also really, really like just roller coaster ride of a team. Like there's one week where they look good, and then there's one where it's like damn near lost to the Cardinals. They have lost to the Texans most recently, 36-29 a few weeks ago. They did beat them earlier on in the season.
They were able to rattle off 3 wins, 2 of them against the trash teams, 1 against a good Chargers team. So
notice, by the way, the Jags and Colts still face each other twice this weekend, being mm-hmm. one of them.
Yep. So. And then Texans scheduled the rest of the way. They will have the Chiefs Sunday night, and then they'll play the Cardinals, Raiders, Chargers, and then they will end this season against the Colts. I'm going to go with the Texans that they repeat as conference champions just because their defense, man, it's nasty.
It's really
I think CJ Stroud and that offense will figure enough things out by the end of the season to be able to propel them into another AFC South crown.
I like Jacksonville just because of their schedule, man. I think it's the easiest. You see the Jets there snuck in between their Colts matchups and the Broncos matchup, and then they end the season against the Titans. That's 2 guaranteed wins, right? As long as you don't S yourselves.
I would say the Titans one is, but I mean, the Jets one, the Jets are bad, but they at least have, what, 4 wins now on the season? 3 wins?
Yeah.
Hey, NFL teams, Jordan. These are NFL teams.
It is a parody-filled league. You are correct, sir.
Let's take a quick break and jump over to the NFC. Quick update for you on Texas Tech BYU. Texas Tech did get that touchdown. They reviewed it. They called it a touchdown. I don't know what the ref was looking at, ruling him down at the 1. It was a touchdown clear as day.
Absolutely like, a touchdown.
I didn't, yeah. So they're up 10-7. BYU also, they ran a fake punt from their own like 40-yard line that did not work.
Did not Ballsy. Work.
And
not the time though.
So Texas Tech got the ball back. Right now they are on the BYU 29-yard line, 2nd and 10, 6 minutes, 19 seconds left to go in the second quarter as they look to take a 2-possession lead here. We'll take a break, jump over to the NFC divisions next here on Sports Saturday on 105.1 The Fan. Welcome back in Sports Saturday here.
Somebody's so ready for Christmas.
Huh?
Somebody's super ready for Christmas.
You are damn right.
Yeah.
It's playing Christmas Bumps on primetime yesterday, too. I'll probably play them all next week, too. So, there you go.
Yeah, we have a sad, pathetic-looking tree in here, like a Charlie Brown tree or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, who put this here?
Perfect.
It's not perfect. It's, not. It's far from perfect.
What are you talking about?
There's a random metal wire just like.
Oh, is that a light?
It. Like,
would you? It looked, I think it might be a light.
One of the branches is already dead and
would
broken.
Would you stop being a Grinch?
That I don't need to be a Grinch for that. That thing is just sad. All right.
We have a real tree out here too. In the
it definitely looks
main
like Charlie
part of the
Brown's
office.
Tree.
Yeah, an undecorated tree out there. Someone needs to get on that.
It smells like
Schultzy,
pine.
Get on it.
Yeah, that's. I guess we found out who's going to decorate the tree, eh?
No.
You have been delegated.
Is that a paid endeavor?
No, they don't
you
pay.
You know it is not.
They don't want to pay us any more than they need to.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Where's my an Odyssey Station clip? I need that.
NFC divisional races, though. It's really coming down to every single one. Every single one is up for grabs. Maybe. The NFC East, after what happened on Thursday night, may no longer be up for grabs. Need a lot of things to happen for the Cowboys. I had a feeling what was going to happen on Thursday night, or what did happen on Thursday night, was going to happen. You know, people were down on the down on the Lions. Cowboys got a couple good wins in a row. Everybody zigged, and I was feeling the zag. I was like, I don't know. I was like, yeah, I get it, but Lions can put up 42 points out of nowhere.
They can.
And what did they do? They put up 44 points. So,
yeah. Good game for them last week.
So Cowboys still have a chance in the division, but they need a lot of things to go their way, including literally basically winning every single game the rest of the way and hoping the Eagles lose every single game the rest of the way. So that's that division. But there are closer divisional races out there, including the NFC North, where
That one's crazy.
Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
They're your division leader at 9-3.
Bears.
Green Bay Packers, 8-3-1 right behind them. And then the Detroit Lions getting a much-needed win on Thursday Night Football, 8-5. Who wins the NFC North?
I really want to say the Bears. There's a part of me that
you can't do it, though.
I can't, though, but their winners are 5 in a row. Like, Caleb Williams looks like he's truly settled into being the quarterback of this team. Rome Odunze is the weirdest receiver in the league. Like, one week he's great. The next week he's
well, that's
terrible,
just the inconsistency
again,
of a Washington player. You know, you just can't trust the Husky.
You just can't trust the Husky right now, man. So, but I really want to say Chicago. However, I'm still going to say the Lions. I'm still going to say the Lions. The Lions have looked really up and down this year, but a couple things have been consistent. One of those is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, he is still among the top three or four receivers in the league, and I love watching him play. He just continues to move forward no matter how many times he gets hit. So I'm a big fan of this Lions squad. Dan Campbell's got, man, massive balls, and I'm with that. You know,
massive
saying?
Balls.
Massive. And so cojones. I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, huge cojones. And
probably
so,
needs to go to a doctor. It's
probably
concerning. Probably,
yes,
sir,
man.
I can see them sticking
yeah,
out
Yeah, come on,
pants.
Man. Chill, bro. Bigger pants, but I like this Lions team. As much as I really, really want to say the Bears, I'm going to say the Lions, but the team I want to win this division is the Chicago Bears.
You want to win the division.
Yes.
The Bears.
I
want
the Bears
to
win. I think the Lions are going to win, though.
Okay, I can't say the Chicago Bears are going to win it. I just can't. Like, they're good, but I feel like maybe they're clicking a little too early going into the playoffs. I am picking one, Green Bay. They had a pretty hard time last year taking care of business in the division. I think they went like 1-5 in division games. Been a lot better this year, and kind of like we were talking about with the Colts-Jags, they are in that position where they face off against the Bears two more times this season, including this weekend, and that, I think, with a win would give them a 70% chance, I read earlier this week, of grabbing the division. Jordan Love, with that four-tutty performance last week against Detroit, feel like he's clicking at the right time. This is his time of year. Packers. I'm going Packers.
They're the only team undefeated in their division, you know, so they haven't lost to any one of the other teams. So the Packers are a good team.
They got a top 10 run defense in the NFL too, and in cold weather, that is huge.
I think losing Tucker Kraft is a bigger deal than they want it to be right now. It might not show up a whole bunch right now, but I think that's going to be a huge blow for them as they move forward, though.
Yeah, I'm going with the Packers. There's part of me that, the Bears looked damn impressive against the Eagles on Thanksgiving, on Black Friday. That was one of their most impressive wins, if not the most impressive win of the season. The way they did it, they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. But I'm with you guys. I just, it's one of those, got to see it to believe it. They play the Packers this weekend. They will then play the Browns, Packers again, 49ers and Lions. That's a tough schedule the rest of the way, that I think they're going to drop just enough of those games for the Green Bay Packers to have the better win percentage overall because of that one tie. They're going to have the tie, whereas the Bears are going to have one more loss than they need, required to win the division. So, yeah, give it the Packers. Moving on over to the NFC South. It comes down between two teams, and boy, if you would have asked me this 4 weeks ago if this was going to be the case, I would have been shocked that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are fighting off the Carolina Panthers, the feisty Carolina Panthers, after beating the LA Rams last week. Huge win for the Panthers.
Oh, my uncle was so pissed. He's a Rams fan. Oh, he was so pissed.
Yeah, it was quite the upset. I believe double-digit upset. I think the Rams were a double-digit favorite going into that one. And the Panthers were able to get the dub 31-28.
Yeah,
and are just a half game behind the Buccaneers for the NFC South.
Last-second fumble there on that final drive by the Rams. Thanks, Matt Stafford. No, he's had a great season. It just did. Wasn't the right time for the Bryce Young show over the top of the secondary, apparently. The Rams, actually, the one weak part of their defense is their secondary. So I guess when you do that, you can succeed against L.A. But, yeah, that sucks.
Sean!
Man, this is kind of one of those Chicago Bears situations because I really want the Panthers to win this division.
Panthers?
I want the Panthers to win this division just because I like the way Bryce Young has matured as a quarterback. He's still got a ways to go, obviously, but he has played much better this season than he has, you know, in this past previous seasons. But I think it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers still. I still think the Bucs are the better team. I trust in Baker Mayfield. I trust in that coaching staff. I trust that defense a little bit. So I like this Buccaneers team. Although I really, really want this young Panthers team to do something, but I'm going with the Bucs.
Yeah, likewise. I want the Panthers to win this, but I think the Buccaneers, they have the better quarterback. They're getting a little bit healthier now. They got Bucky Irving back. Mike Evans might be coming back here pretty soon as well. So I think that they're starting to get healthy at the right time. And they got a huge win last weekend when they needed it most because things looked like they were starting to get out of control there for the Buccaneers after losing some big games to the Patriots, the Bills, the Rams, but then able to sneak out a win against the Cardinals. And their schedule is pretty damn favorable the rest of the way. They're going to take on the Saints. They're going to take on the Falcons. They'll get the Panthers twice before the end of the year. And then outside of that, they'll play the Dolphins as well. So give me the Dolphins, actually. I think they've won like four in a row or something like that. Three or four in a row.
Yeah,
Dolphins.
They'll be playing spoiler now, right?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
Yeah, I got to go with Bucks. That's just not even. I don't want the Panthers to succeed. What are you guys talking about?
That's funny. They were terrible.
Yeah, they were awful.
They've
man.
Been terrible. What?
It's cool to see bad teams all of a sudden do well.
Yeah.
Funny.
I guess.
I like it. I like parody. I like seeing things I haven't seen before, and the Panthers being good, I haven't seen that in a decade.
No, yeah, since seriously. Cam Newton?
It's been a long time. Yeah. And I'm glad Mike Evans is potentially coming back for this Bucs team. Nobody ever says it, but Mike Evans is quietly one of the best receivers in the league. He's basically this generation's Larry Fitzgerald. Go look up those numbers, man. Go look up those numbers. He's a great player that plays for a team that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
Go look at those numbers. Him and Larry Fitzgerald, they're almost identical.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd take a prime Larry Fitzgerald over a prime Mike Evans, though.
He's got like 13 straight seasons of like 1,000 yards or something stupid like that.
That's a good question, Joe. I don't know.
NFC West. This comes down to four teams, the Rams and Seahawks, now tied at 9-3. Both of them with uninspiring performances last week, at least offensively for the Seahawks. I mean,
Jackson, Smith, and Jigma, but outside of that, like.
But again, the defense is what won them that game yesterday because they were, last week, the Vikings started Max Brosmer, whoever the hell that kid was, out of Minnesota. and then shut them out. And then the Rams, they lost, obviously, to the Panthers, as we just talked about. And then the 49ers, they just keep rolling along, man. Purdy's back. He's looking good. Juwan Jennings is getting everybody in the league to try and possibly fight him. But the 49ers, they're right in there at 9-4, just a half game back. Who's got the NFC West?
Oh, man, this is the toughest one right now. I think all three of these teams can really lay claim to being the best team in the NFC West. Man, my heart tells me that, or my head tells me, man, go with the 49ers. You just mentioned, Joe, everybody is back and healthy, and Christian McCaffrey looks good, and everything that's supposed to be working well for this 49ers team that we've always thought would is actually kind of working well for them. Winners of three in a row. The Seattle Seahawks, though, man. Like, it's who would have thought they would have played this well this season? None of us. Now, who would have thought Jackson's
not this well? No. I figured they'd be all right, but I
thought
they'd
be okay at best. And who would have thought Jackson Smith and Jigma would emerge as the best receiver in the NFL this season, because that's pretty much what he's been, you know, as far as what he's been able to do. I love everything about this Rams team and what they've been able to do. So it's a tough one. So I think I'm going to go ahead and say the 49ers, though, just based on everything. The 49ers won, but close second is going to be the Rams and then the Seahawks.
Jordan.
The Niners have, I would say, two of the four easier remaining games with the Titans, and then
this week against the Titans, I believe.
I know, exactly. Like, call that a win, right?
And oh, then, no, they're on bye week. That will be next week.
Oh, sorry, yeah, next week, my bad. Yeah, well, actually, that's also an advantage, by the way, for the Niners, having a bye week at this point in the year. Mm-hmm. They have been so injured, and that's kind of the one thing that makes me not want to pick my Rams, but I'm going to, just because I love their run defense, man. I love Verse. Can't believe they still turned it around so quickly after Aaron Donald's retirement, and I did not expect them to be this good still.
Crazy.
And Matt Stafford's going for one more Super Bowl, and I think they're going to do it, so it's got to be L.A.
I'm going to go with the Rams, just based off of, like, the 49ers. They got a pretty interesting schedule even after the Titans, where they're going to be playing some good teams. They will be playing Colts, Bears, Seahawks, three teams all vying for the playoffs. Also in that division, Seattle, their remaining schedule. They will take on the Falcons tomorrow. Colts, Rams, Panthers, 49ers. So really after that Falcons game, they're going to have to play four teams all vying for the playoffs. And then the Rams, what their schedule looks like the rest of the way is, have it pulled up, at Cardinals versus Lions, Seahawks, Falcons, Cardinals. So you get two games against the Cardinals and a game against the Falcons. I mean, there's three wins right there. You're looking at a 12-win season. 12 wins should be able to get you to win the division.
It should.
Yeah.
It should.
If you're sitting at 12-5 at least in the NFC West, and I don't think they lose the game against the Lions. They could lose the one up in Seattle just because, you know, Seattle, that environment.
That rain.
You know, it don't ever know what's going to happen in a divisional game like that. So, give me the Rams to win the NFC West. But give me three picks for this week, because it's Who Do You Love coming up next. We got to get our picks in for maybe some of these college games, the few to choose from, NFL this weekend, and I'm sure Rashad will throw in a random NBA pick.
I won't. I will do it for you guys. I will not do that.
All football, huh?
All football.
All right. We get to that next here. Who Do You Love coming up? But first, Schultzy, Sports Interrupted.
Who do you love? Joe and Rashad share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Saturday on 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
It's time for Who Do You Love? Make some picks, but let's take a look at what happened last week. I went with Ducks minus 6.5.
We were all tied, right?
We were tied going into last week, yes. Yeah. My picks, I went Ducks minus 6.5, as did Jordan. So we both hit there.
Nailed it.
I went Seahawks minus 11.5. That hit, as they shut out the Vikings 26-0. And then Texas Tech blows out West Virginia and covers the 23.5. And that, my friends, is a perfect 3-0 week right there.
That's a good parlay. Job.
That's a parlay.
That's
for
a
sure.
Perfect 3-0 week. The first perfect week of the season by any one of us.
That's a good job.
Until
that's a good hit.
Week 15.
Seriously, it took the entire season.
My
yeah.
God.
And that puts me at 15-15. Rashad, you took Vanderbilt straight up. And that hit.
That's one.
Bills Steelers under 45.5. Steelers. That hit. And then I called you a coward for taking the Spurs money line. And they placed they played the Timberwolves off of a back-to-back. And I'm like, that's a cowardly pick. And the Timberwolves got it done. They got a big win against the Celtics. And then they go right next day and they get a win against the Spurs. You almost had a perfect week, too.
Almost, man. I was hoping it would have happened. You know, two of us get a perfect week, but oh well.
So you go 2-1. You are at 14-16.
That sucks.
And then Jordan, as I mentioned, went Ducks -6.5. He went Chargers -8.5, which that hit.
Yeah.
And then you took Pitt +6.5 against Miami, which that did not. No, it did not.
So you are winning, sir.
So now it took me 13 weeks, but your boy, we're back in that number one spot.
Let's be fair. You missed a couple weeks, and we did, you know, make picks, and we decided, you know what, we'll go ahead and forego those picks.
You're a loser.
Yeah, it's all good.
You're a loser.
All right, I'll get things started with a winner. And that's Ohio State -4 over Indiana today. I am going with the Buckeyes to beat Indiana, Jimmy's versus Joe's, and cover that 4. Me and my buddy, we were talking last night, and he asked me, he's like, what do you think this that spread is? I was like, I don't know. It was like 7.5. And then he's like, no, it's only 4. And I'm like, well, then give me Ohio State. I think, it's just that defense is going to lock down Indiana. It's not a home game for Indiana as much as we, you know, it's happening in Indianapolis, just an hour away from Bloomington, but Columbus is a short 2.5-hour drive. Yeah. So Ohio State fans will be packing it out. I think Ohio State will show that that defense is the real deal once again against Indiana.
I was asked, this is actually the second one I was going to pick, but you took it. So I might as well just go ahead and go. I'm going to go in the favor of the Hoosiers. I think Indiana wins this game, man. I think Indiana has shown in the entire season, like, they can hang with some pretty big boys. They made Oregon look almost JV at certain points, and the last team
Calm
to
down.
Do that. Seriously, the last team to do that, Oregon never looked comfortable in that game, offensively, defensively, and the last team to really do that to Oregon, oh, I can't remember, but it's Ohio State. And so I'm going to go ahead and say that the Hoosiers win this game. I think they got everything in place for a great run, and I think this could potentially be Fernando's Mendoza's Heisman moment.
Fernando? There you go.
Fernando. I like Fernando,
yeah.
Yeah, but this could be Mendoza's big moment in the sun.
So are you going to go big balls and just Indiana straight up money line or just a cover plus 4?
I'm going Indiana straight up money line.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm doing.
All right. Jordan.
I'm taking the easy win here, at least in comparison with
Rashad. Oh, boy, famous last words.
Well, no, I'm not going Indiana to win, but I think they'll cover. I think this is a trap line, but I do think Indiana is going to be within a field goal of Ohio State. To me, this comes down to the coaches, right? Cignetti v. Ryan Day, and we've seen more of Ryan Day on this stage. I think there's a little bit more tape that Cignetti and his coaches have to work with, and it is going to be a fun one. I bet you there's going to be a special teams tutty. Couple of turnovers, so maybe it'll come down to the play on the field, but I really think it'll come down to the coaches and schemes. So, yeah, Indiana.
All right, I will be jumping over to the NFL. I'm going to go Broncos covering against the Raiders -7.5. This one is in Las Vegas, but I feel like these are two teams heading in the complete opposite direction. The Broncos like to play with their food, it seems like. Even against the Raiders on that dreadful Thursday night game a couple weeks ago, it was 10-7.
Yeah, they have trailed every game this season, Joe.
Yeah, except the Cowboys. They didn't trail in that one, that's for sure. I remember that. The Broncos, yeah, again, I think they're just two teams that are going in complete different directions. The Raiders season is in the toilet, and I think this is a healthy win for the Broncos this weekend, -7.5.
I'm going to stick with college football. There's obviously another huge game with a lot of implications today, and that is the Georgia Bulldogs facing the Alabama Crimson Tide. This game is in Georgia, but Alabama is the home team. Remember, they played earlier in the season, and Alabama got the dub against Georgia, winning by 3. So, you know, Georgia hasn't forgotten that because their season has been damn near perfect since that kind of hiccup. They started slow in that game, and Alabama jumped on them, and they were just never able to recover. I think Georgia's going to have something for them today. They're 1.5 favorites in this game. I'm taking Georgia in the points.
Georgia, what is it? Points?
1.5.
Georgia, 1.5. You got it, bud. Bam. Locked in. Jordan.
This seems too easy here, but the Commanders are favored on the road.
Famous last words.
Well, seriously, like there's some wacky trap lines.
I smell an 0-3 week coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna get blasted by Vegas this week. The Vikings at home are underdogs against the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are 1.5-point favorites in that one. I think they're going to cover. They're getting Jaden Daniels back. Their defense has been getting better. Earlier in the season, it was in, I'm pretty sure, the bottom third in every category. And since then, Dan Quinn, known for his defense, moved them, at least in the run defense, up to the middle of the pack. So they're trending in the right direction, and only 2 points. Are you kidding me? Jaden Daniels against the crappy Vikings? Yeah, I'll take that.
Vikings defense is pretty solid, though.
I know, but they're just, they are 4-8. They have nothing to play for. At some point, there's some quit in those guys, right?
Well, not on the defensive side of the ball. Not on the defense side of the ball. Yeah. That quarterback, Max Brosmer, though, is pretty garbage. That's pretty bad.
What a hot man he is, though.
A hot man?
Yeah.
I haven't seen, well, Jordan.
have you seen him and his, I think his...
Give me the reports here.
Just tall, dark, and handsome. And then he's got a beautiful wife or girlfriend, whichever she is. But, yeah.
Want that.
Uh-huh.
Max Brosmer, hot, according to Jordan Schultz. all right, my last pick, I am going to go with Bills Bengals over 53.5. Bengals defense is terrible. Bills defense this year has had moments where it has lapsed as well and given up points, but I think their offense is just, you know, is very potent. Fifth most points in the league, points per game. Number one rushing offense in the league. So, yeah, give me the Bengals, Bills, over 53.5.
So,
and your last one, Rashad.
I said I was going to stick with football, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, boy.
I got English Premier League Fulton.
Stop.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and go with, I was looking at this Monday night game, and Philly versus the Chargers in L.A., Philadelphia is a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under is 41.5. I think I'm taking the under in that. Philly's been having an issue scoring the last little bit. There's some games, recent games, where there's been some 10s and some 16s and some other stuff put up, so not necessarily awesome outscoring output. So I just kind of feel like this is going to be one of those games for both teams. So I'm going to go under the 41.5 today.
Now I'm curious, just as far as that game goes, to see what the Philadelphia, the Eagles defense looks like after blowing the game to the Cowboys and then just getting ran all over by the Bears. You know, are they going to be able to get some push and generate some pressure like basically every team has been able to do against the Chargers and Justin Herbert this year? So, yeah, could be a messy game where, yeah, that under hits. And Jordan, your last one.
I'm going Seahawks to cover 6.5 at Atlanta. I know it's a road game. I know that is a big line.
I was waiting for you to be like, this is too easy.
No, that's
probably not the easiest one of the day, guys.
You know what? I see the angle here. No, I just think that there is an opportunity for Sam Darnold with the best receiver so far in the league in Jaxon Smith-Njigba to actually get right. Who knows, though? As Suk says, he might be pulling an old Mr. Jenkins like Scooby-Doo pulls that mask off of the villain at the end. It's like, oh, no, you are who we thought you were. I do think, though, that next couple of weeks, especially in a crappy, crappy place like Atlanta, it's a get-right game. So Seattle to cover 6.5.
All right. I'm taking Ohio State -4, Broncos 7.5 over the Raiders, and Bengals Bills over 53.5. Rashad's on Indiana Hoosiers money line. Straight up! Georgia -1.5 over Bama, and then Eagles Chargers under 41.5. And then Jordan is taking Indiana just to cover the 4. Commanders minus 1.5 over the Vikings, and the Seahawks minus 4.5 at the Atlanta Falcons.
6.5.
Oh, 6.5?
Yeah, it's a tutty.
Oh, no, I wish I heard it. I don't know where I heard 4.5.
Sorry.
You know what? You can have. No, I'm not giving it to you.
No.
Yeah, hopefully no one on the Seahawks staff eats that Flamin' Hot Cheetos chicken sandwich, or else they could be in trouble tomorrow.
I'm down to try one, though.
I am, too. All right, let's wrap things up next here. Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network. All right, 1 minute left here on Sports Saturday. And see you later.
Cool.
Rashad asked me how much money or how much like scholarship money would a school have to give me for them to be the mascot. I was like, not a lot, dude. You kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Just get to act a fool and go to all the football games.
You got to have too much energy to be the mascot.
I can do
it. You can't just be chill and be like, hey, guys, I'm here.
Well, this is what I
picture. You got to be jumping.
This is what I appreciate about the Oregon Duck is that he's chill. He's just a cool guy. Whereas I feel like all these other mascots are way too hyped up. Like, let's go number one, baby. Like you always say.
Oregon Duck is a gym bro, though.
All of the mascots act the same, except the Oregon Duck. He's just chilling. He's just lounging. You know, the most energy he puts out is when he has to do those push-ups. But yeah. He's a good
And some
ball.
Of those push-ups are, you know.
It's like Sook on the bench.
It's like Sook on the bench, man. Well, yeah, we see you, Sook. We haven't forgotten.
What is this?
Oh, this is a great song. This is my favorite Christmas
song. Stevie Wonder.
This is my favorite Christmas song.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm familiar.
I'm not going out with some Coldplay.
This is one of the greatest
Someday at Christmas
records ever made.
I'm a personal fan of
Bing Crosby.
No, Bruce Springsteen. Merry Christmas, baby.
Y'all get a Santa to bring you a new saxophone.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been a Bruce Springsteen fan ever.
I love that version of Merry Christmas, baby. Yeah. You show him dreaming.
I don't get it. Sorry, guys.
It's great. All right. That'll do it for us. We will catch y'all next Saturday. And we will know who the Oregon Ducks will be playing in the college football playoff, as well as everybody else. And it'll be one more week closer to the NFL playoffs as well. Plenty of football still left to be played, folks.
Here we go, man. It's the best part of the year.
Rashad, thank you as always.
My man.
Jordan, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Merry Christmas, everybody.
All the listeners out there, appreciate you hanging out with us on this Saturday, and we will catch you next week at 9 a.m. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country,
hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.